So welcome everyone. Before we begin today's agenda, we have everybody, right? Yeah, we're all set. I'd like to take the opportunity to thank the Trust Lands staff at DNRC for making themselves available over the past few weeks for briefings, individual meetings, and phone calls with the land board members and your staff. They have been fully available to answer questions and walk through the background of the issues that come before the land board. I even understand a field trip occurred to get the land board staff out in the field to see more of the work that we do up close. Collectively, these opportunities are helping to address questions and inform our decision-making ahead of this meeting. I'd like to call this February land board meeting to order. I know we have all had the opportunity to review the minutes. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
Mr. Governor, move to approve the minutes.
Okay. Thank you. Is there a second?
Mr. Governor, I'll second that.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Great. They stand approved. We'll begin with the first action item. Director Castor, please tell us about the first action item on this month's.
Thank you, Governor. The first item is 0221-1, Cabin and Homesites, final approval for sale. This item is for final approval of 5 cabin and homesite sales in Missoula County. You will recall from the last month, cabin and homesites go to the board 3 times in total as required by law. This is the final step in the process for these sales. These sales were granted preliminary approval by the land board in April 2020, approved 5-0, and the land board set the minimum bid in November 2020, approved 5-0. The sale will benefit the MSU Second Trust. These parcels are located on the west shore of the Clearwater River and were nominated for sale by the current lessees. These sales sold at public auction, on January 8, 2021. DNRC received a bid deposit from 1 qualified bidder for each sale who was the current lessee. The sites sold for the final sale prices listed in the agenda, totaling $439,000. The DNRC requests approval of item 0221-1 as described in the agenda.
Okay, is there any public comment? Any public comment? Seeing none, do I hear a motion?
Mr. Governor, I would like to just point out and make a comment, if I may.
Okay, did I skip discussion?
Oh.
Just as a matter of parliamentary procedure, Mr. Governor, I think we probably have to have a motion first before we discuss on it.
Yeah. Is there a motion to approve these cabin sales?
Mr. Governor, I'll move to approve.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. There was a and discussion?
Mr. Governor, I just have a comment I would like to make. For example, on sale number 1083, I asked for a 10-year history of the revenue generated. And the total, for example, with sale 1083 is $47,837. We're selling this as a one-time revenue generator of $86,000. And projecting that going forward, we will be losing, this is a permanent decision to be losing annual revenue in exchange for a one-time purchase of $86,000, and the same goes true for all the other sales. So I wanted to point that out.
Is there additional discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Governor. Yes, I've been looking at this as well, and Title 77-2-318 that covers sales of leased cabin and home sites says multiple times that the board shall consistent with the board's constitutional fiduciary duty of attaining full market value. That phrase is used multiple times in that title. And one of the things that I had trouble with at the last meeting we had, and I'm still having trouble with here, is I'm looking at sales here, and I'm just looking at the 2020 net income, not the gross net income of $22,500, and I'm looking at a sales price of $439,000, which I think that came in at about a 5% return. Let's see if I see my notes. But the expectation on replacing, taking these funds and buying replacement property, and the expectation that was set last meeting was that when that money is replaced, it's expected to do about a 2.91% return. And so just capitalizing that income to replace the current income of $22,500, the sale would have to be $773,000 plus to replace the current income if and when we replace that at the expectation of that new, of that 2.91% return. And so I guess I would really question whether we are doing our fiduciary duty here if we're taking something that is producing a certain amount of income that comes up $300,000 short of being able to replace that income, even on the sales price. I think these are questions that are giving me a little bit of heartburn, and they keep repeating themselves. And I've been trying to dig into this, looking into, you know, all of the issues with rent increases. And I know this is a complicated situation with the way that these leases have been done. There's new leases, there's some legacy leases in the way we've been dealing with these. But I guess I would wonder why we would take a known income and severely cut that by this decision. And I'm having trouble with that.
Okay, is there additional discussion?
Mr. Governor. Members of the land board, I don't purport to remember everything that was done 10 years ago and 8 years ago, but Superintendent Arnson, you probably remember, but this was quite the issue during the 2011 legislature, also the 2013 legislature. I think it even carried over into the 15 legislature. My understanding is, and again, my memory is not great, but I think at this point our hands are largely tied here. I mean, we've got a process that was put in place by the legislature to deal with what was identified as a problem. I think the process is largely set out in statute. I mean, my discussion with staff and land board staff and my own land board staff, and the conclusion I've come to is that basically our hands are tied here. I mean, this is the third reading of these. They've been through the process. We've followed the statute, again, as promulgated by the legislature. I don't know that we have a ton of choice here.
Okay.
Chairman.
Director Castor, do you believe in the process we followed that we're consistent with the statute that was put in place by the legislature?
So I do, but if it's okay with you, Governor, I think it'd be helpful to have Sean Thomas come up and speak to the process that we follow consistent with the law. Sean?
Certainly. good morning, Governor, members of the land board. For the record, I'm Sean Thomas. I'm the Trust Lands Division Administrator for the DNRC. I believe you've all raised fair points and things that have been discussed off and on over the history of our cabin site sales program. I was part of the 2013 legislation that was put into place in order to push the issue forward to sell these properties. I do believe we are following the law as the legislature intended. We have a biannual report on the cabin site sales program that goes to the EQC and is available on our website. I think many of your staff have probably looked at it. It talks about what the law required of us and how we've implemented it. So I am confident that we are following the law. I am confident that full market value for these properties can be determined based on the appraisals, and that's what we're relying on. So we're doing the best that we can with this program given the legislation that's been created and the direction that we've received in the past to push these sales forward.
And if I could just ask for elaboration, based on the process that's followed with the appraisals, do you believe the prices that are reflected in this third reading represent market for these properties?
Governor, members of the board, I do. I think that, you know, we have to rely on certified professional appraisers in order to establish the values. That said, as real estate markets go up and down, appraisals cycle, as we all know, a little bit behind, right? So over the history of the program, I think the ups and downs have been ameliorated to a degree. But, I think it's the closest that we can possibly achieve. Mark Harvell, our real estate bureau chief, acting bureau chief, spent a career working in real estate. And what he will tell you is that, you know, if you're going forward and listing a property, you get the best available information you can, and you put it out, and you know, if you get a full price offer, are you probably going to execute that offer? And in most cases, I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, and in this particular case, the Attorney General mentioned that we're constrained by the current statute because that was what was developed, and you believe we followed that. I always believe that better is possible. Do you think if the legislature were to conclude that there might be ways to improve this process if the statute was changed?
Mr. Governor, members of the board, certainly always opportunities for improvement, and you know, the statutory creation of this cabin site sales process wasn't without some gives and take from the department as well as the cabin site lessee's interest and legislative intent. So there's always room for improvement, I think.
Yeah, and just for the auditor and the secretary, I agree with you. We need to be getting market value for these properties. But as the Attorney General pointed out, we're constrained by what the legislature has, the rules we're operating under. And I'd love to work with you to, you know, collaborate with the legislature to see if we can improve the process. I think better is always possible. Given this is the third reading on these, I think if there is additional discussion, we could certainly have it. But I think we need to vote on these and decide and work to make things better. Yes.
Thank you, Governor, and fellow members. For the continuity of the process for the third time over, I concur with you, Governor, that we need to process this forward. I had thought maybe we could use parliamentary procedures and remove this, you know, have the motion removed and have a little bit more a discussion of what the process is. But, you know, in the last 4 years of myself questioning and wondering, but yet I do believe, I mean, Attorney General, you went like this. Our hands are tied at this point. So there is a constraint. But there is a lot of conversation that does happen with the landowners itself. And I think that's our responsibility as well. But there's no one here that has directed the director to find more dollars for our guarantee account to make sure that our schools are funded at the highest level they could possibly be. And this is an opportunity as well. But from that point of a legislator when this went into play to where we are at this point, it is the best as it is at this. So I would concur that we do continue and process with the vote.
Okay. Is there any additional discussion?
Mr. Governor, just in summary, we're replacing ongoing, consistent revenue with one-time revenue. So if our goal has been to create more generate more revenue for the schools, I definitely think this is an area that we could look at going forward.
Okay. Any additional comments?
Just really briefly, Mr. Governor, just as a way of history, I won't belabor this, but this was a very drawn out, belabored, difficult, multi-session fight at the legislature. These cabin site leases, this was a very difficult subject. It was it took a couple of sessions for the legislation to actually get put in and this process we have, unfortunately, in front of us. I don't think this is any, this is not something that I think any of us take lightly. I think we can all agree that we want to do the most we can with the state resources. But in this case, I really have to say we are constrained.
Any additional discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Governor, this is for the Attorney General. You know, the part that I keep looking at is being consistent with our constitutional duty here, or being reasonable with that constitutional duty. Do you think that there's any possibility in the law is the law? You believe we're constrained even with that?
Mr. Governor, Mr. Auditor, I do. Yeah, I think given, I mean, certainly we have that obligation that you pointed out, but we also have guidance from the legislature and a process that was put in place by the legislature that constrains us here.
Thank you. Mr. Governor, I just want to go on record that I do think this is something that we should look into, because making a conscious decision to cut the income from these trust lands going into what they were constitutionally set aside for, I think is something that we need to look into deeper. But I just want to put that comment out there.
Okay. And I'll just add finally that, you know, we have these leasees that have been in this process. This is a third reading. I think the thing that every process can be made better, and we should always strive to do that. but certain expectations have been set with these individuals who have followed the rules, and now we're in a position to continue to follow the rules as they're written or do something different. And so I'll leave it there, and I would call all those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Great, thank you. Director Castor.
Next item is 0221-2A and B, setting the minimum bid for cabin and home site sales. Unless there are objections, Governor, we will present A and B together.
Without objection.
Thank you. This item is to set the minimum bid for the sale of 9 cabin and home sites in Missoula and Sanders counties. Again, as with the previous item, cabin and home sites go to the board 3 times in total. This is the second step in the process for these sales. The land board granted preliminary approval in April 2020, approved 5-0. 0221-2A are sites in Missoula County and benefit the MSU Second Trust. There are 7 parcels in total, 6 on Seeley Lake Outlet East and 1 on Seeley Lake Outlet West. All of these sales were nominated by the lessees. 0221-2B are sites located in Sanders County and benefit Common Schools and Public Buildings Trusts. There are 2 parcels in total. Sale number 1115 is located on the Thompson River and would benefit Common Schools. Sale number 1116 is located on Mud Creek and would benefit public buildings. Both of these sales were nominated by the lessees. The DNRC requests approval of item 0221-2 A and B as described in the agenda.
Great. Is there any public comment? Anyone have public comment? Okay, seeing none. Do I hear a motion on this item?
Mr. Governor, I move to approve items 0221-2A and 0221-2B.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second that, Governor.
Okay. Thank you. Discussion.
Mr. Governor, just same thing. I just want to go on record so we all understand that we're selling this for an expectation of $728,500 in income. And to replace the 2020 income, we would need to sell this for $1.18 million, so $400,000 loss right there to replace that income. So just wanted to point that out.
Okay. Is there any additional discussion on this item? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Any opposed? It is unanimous. Director Castor.
Next and final action is 0221-3, easements. If there are no objections, Governor, we will present all of them together.
Okay. No objection.
The easements before you today are all detailed in your packet. Affected counties are Richland and Rosebud. Total easement package value is $10,120 for the common school. This month's easements are for private road access, highways construction and maintenance, and utilities as detailed in your packets. I'm going to quickly run through the applicant and the right-of-way purpose here. So Nielsen Ranch LLC, the purpose is private access road. The Montana Department of Transportation for highway construction maintenance, and McKenzie Electric Cooperative Incorporated for overhead electrical distribution lines. The DNRC requests approval of the easements in item 0221-3 as described in the agenda.
Okay. Is there any public comment on these easements? Would anyone from the public like to comment? Okay, hearing none. Do I hear a motion on these easements?
Mr. Governor, I'll make the motion, and I move for the easements in Rosebud and Richland County, and that's action item 0221-3.
Okay, great. Is there a second?
Mr. Governor, I'll second that.
Okay, great. Any discussion here at the board? Hearing none, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Great. I want to thank the Land Board for your work today and discussion, and I think there were some important issues raised that we should follow up on and figure out how we make the process better. At this time, we'll open it up for general public comment if there is any. It's a very quiet group.
Don't make us go back to work already.
Okay. At this time, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Governor, if I could please ask. I have a question on the Keystone Pipeline, and if I could, Director, have this given to Mr. Thomas. He probably has a little bit more history than I would and would not want it to be a long, drawn-out question, but there are state trust lands that have been worked with throughout this, and I would like to have a little bit more understanding of where we stand right now. Thank you. Thank you very much, Director. Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Certainly. Again, Sean Thomas for the record. Governor, members of the Land Board, Superintendent Arnson. So in 2012, December of 2012, the Land Board actually approved the issuance of 39 easements across state trust land parcels and two river crossings for Keystone XL Pipeline. They were contingent upon the issuance of the presidential permit. So in 2017, the company received the presidential permit, and that triggered the department to actually issue and collect for the 39 easements for $739,000. This past summer, the crossing to the international border was completed, and there was a little piece of school trust land at that location, so the pipeline is installed at that location. That's the only construction that's commenced to date on the school trust land involved in the project. In addition to the pipeline easements, we also have a commercial lease with the company for a pumping station. That's a fully executed document at this point and has a $15,000 a year annual payment with a 2.14% annual escalator. And then in addition to that, they have paid us about $158,000 for construction workspace. So in addition to the width of their easement, they've temporarily authorized additional width for the construction, extra space required. So that's the status. I have not heard anything from the Keystone folks since the recent decision by the president to suspend or withdraw. I'm not even sure what the current status of it is. Pending, there was been some other litigation, which you're probably all aware of as well. But our work with them has largely been complete since the 2012 issuance of their or approval of their easements.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Governor, for that indulgence. Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Okay. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. We're adjourned.